Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we're going to explore five inescapable truths about organizational culture. Well, Andy, before we get to these five truths, talk for just a minute about what culture is and why this is important.
Yeah, this is a big, broad topic, obviously broader than we're going to be able to cover in our session today, Lane. But it's something I love to talk about because leaders are aware of it. Leaders are concerned about it. But oftentimes, this is the thing we don't know what to do about. You know, we look around our own organizations and we think, I don't like the way things are going. Well, what does that mean? You know, how do you say, I'm going to change the way things are going? But sometimes culture is just that. It's just the way things are going, the way people are feeling, the way people are approaching things. But I guess in kind of a narrow way, culture is, it's kind of that set of unwritten rules that pretty much determine how people in an organization act, react, communicate, problem solve, you know, treat each other. It includes, you know, attitudes of an organization, beliefs, even values, standards, expectations, prejudices, approaches, phobias. It's just all that stuff that makes up kind of the personality of an organization.
Andy, you mentioned that culture incorporates values. What do you see as the difference?
Yeah, again, culture is broader than values. Values, oftentimes, and again, when you look at the list of values in corporations, some of them are specific behaviors, some of them more general than that. But essentially, the value is basically what an organization values. For example, excellence. I mean, how many times we've seen we value excellence. But the culture is how we express excellence, or a way of saying it is, the culture says, this is how we do it here.
Andy, as important as this is, it just doesn't seem like a lot of leaders spend a lot of time focusing on this.
Yeah, I understand that because I like things I can measure. I like talking about the future. I like giving reports about where we're going. I like casting vision. Culture is a bit like trying to pick up Jell-O or win an argument with your teenage daughter. You know, one keeps kind of slipping away and the other keeps changing the subject. And so for leaders, working on culture feels like we're going backwards. It's like, could somebody, you know, why don't people just act right? Why don't people just do the right thing? So yeah, it's difficult, I think, sometimes for those of us in leadership to focus on culture because it does feel like we're going backwards. We wonder, why don't people just do their jobs? Why don't people just show up on time? You know, I cast the vision. What else do I need to do? But culture impacts how people hear the vision, respond to the vision. Culture impacts their ability to focus on their jobs. Culture impacts all of that. So whereas it's difficult to address, it's very difficult to change, it is extraordinarily important.
Andy, when I've heard you talk about these, you call these the five inescapable truths about culture.
Yeah, there's probably more than five, or maybe there are fewer than five. But because there's so much to say about this subject, when I talk to leaders, I always say, if you don't get anything out of this, or if you don't remember anything, here are five things that are true right now of your organization. Here are five things that are currently impacting your culture. And every organization has an organizational culture. There's no escaping that. So if we're going to have one anyway, we should have a good one. And these five things, I think, sometimes are like a wake-up call, or in some cases, these five things, I think, help leaders get a take a first step in addressing cultural issues.
All right, well, let's jump right in with number one. The first inescapable truth, leaders shape the organizational culture, whether they intend to or not.
That's right. No one has more impact on the culture of an organization than the leader. And by leader, I mean it can be the division, a department, a branch, the overall organization. Whoever is basically in charge shapes, whether they intend to or not, the culture of the organization. Now, we don't think in those terms as leaders, again, because we're thinking about the stuff we can count. But other than the situation where somebody comes in new, you know, every leader who comes into an existing organization inherits an organizational culture. And the interesting thing is in our audience who are new in their division department or even their industry or their organization, they, when they walked in, and we'll talk about this in a minute, they became immediately aware of the culture because they had fresh eyes. But once a leader is in a space for a very long time, and I dare not say how long that is, but after a while, they either adapt to the culture and it becomes invisible, or they begin to shape the culture. And the longer a leader has been in an organization, the more blame they should take or the more responsibility they should take for the culture of the organization. So no one impacts the culture more than the leader of the organization. And I think that's the starting point for shaping or reshaping or maintaining a healthy culture.
So Andy, based on what you're saying, if a leader looks around their culture and thinks, this isn't healthy, I don't like what's going on here, they really have nowhere to look but the mirror. But what do you say to the guys who look around and think, I like my culture?
Yeah, it's healthy. I love it. Here's what I would say, and this is so important. And I remember I learned this lesson from Tom Peters many, many years ago. I read his book, Thriving on Chaos, which next to War and Peace might be the largest book I've ever read. I can't believe I got through it, but I'm one of those, once I started, I got to finish it. In that book, I believe it was that book, he talked about the driving force in an organization and that it's critical for leaders to discover the driving force behind the things they like about their organization. Because if you don't know what the driving force is, or if you're confused about what it is, you may make changes and accidentally disrupt momentum or disrupt something that you value in the organization. And I think for those of us who look around our organization and say, I like it, people want to work here, the question is why? In church world, we get confused about this. We say, well, God is blessing. God's just blessing. And I say to church leaders, okay, God may be blessing, but what is he blessing? Mm-hmm. You're doing something right. Your people, there's something good going on here. You better discover what it is, put a big fence around it, and don't stop doing whatever that is. So in a culture that's healthy, and again, as a leader transitions into a great company, a great division, department, whatever it might be, and they go, wow, this is healthy. Job description, at the top of the job description is discover what drives and what maintains this healthy culture, and then nurture that and don't let anything get in the way. So all of that to say, in a healthy culture, the temptation for the leader is to lay back and say, well, things are great here. You better discover why they're great, and you need to protect that at all costs.
Andy, inescapable truth number two says time in erodes awareness of.
Yeah, the longer a leader is in a place, the less aware they are of what's going on in that place. That sounds kind of strange, but the time in erodes awareness of. Again, any of our audience who has walked into an organization with fresh eyes, as I said a second ago, they are immediately aware of what's good, bad, healthy, and unhealthy of the culture. But the longer you are anywhere, the less aware you are of where you are. How's that? I sometimes talk about the fact when we moved in our home, we built a house, and in the dining room, my wife wanted to put these outlets that have electricity built in so you can hang a picture and plug them in without cords on the wall. I don't know what you call that. The receptacles with the hook for the pictures, okay. That's the technical description. Anyway, so the builder and I were there, and he asked me where we wanted them. Well, silly me, I decided. I said, here's where we want those receptacles on the wall to hang the pictures. Well, I chose poorly, let's put it that way. So when we moved in the house and we put our furniture in the dining room, here are these receptacles on the wall, where you'd put a picture, but they're in the wrong place. Well, what did we do? We took two little pictures and hung them over the receptacles so people didn't see receptacles on the wall. And when we hung them there, we knew it looked terrible, bad move, we need to move those. But after about a month, we didn't see them anymore because we lived there. And I guarantee you, anybody with a fraction of decorating sense walked into our home and their eye went immediately in our dining room to those silly little pictures hanging in the wrong place. And they thought, why did the Stanleys hang those pictures there? But of course, they wouldn't say anything. And it had become invisible to us. And in a minute, I'll give you another illustration. But that's what happens. The longer we are anywhere, the less aware we are of what's going on, or the less aware we are of the culture. And so leaders, it's so important that we build into the rhythm of the organization things that help us become aware of changes, help us become aware of things that are unhealthy, and help us become aware of the driving force behind what is healthy. Because the longer you're there, the less aware you are of what's going on.
Andy, in inescapable truth number one, you say a leader is responsible for the culture. But then we also say that, time in erodes awareness of. So any leader who's been leading in a culture for a long time, these two things compound one another.
Yeah, that's why I said you've got to build into the rhythm of the organization ways to become aware of what you have lost awareness of. There's a lot of ways to do that, or I should say there's several ways to do that. The thing that has helped me the most in this is years and years ago when I knew this was the case, and we're hiring lots of people, multi-campus. Now I can't get in the room with all of our staff on a daily basis like the average pastor can, as we have more and more campuses, more and more staff. So we created a questionnaire that goes from my office to a new employee after they have been in our organization for 3 months, and then a separate questionnaire with different questions that goes to new employees after they've been with us for a year. These questions are designed to elicit from them what they see with their fresh eyes and hear with their fresh ears. So they're not, we're not evaluating them. They are evaluating our organization. And it has been amazing the things I've discovered that I would not have been aware of any other way. And again, they're just saying, hey, here's how I see it. Here's what I've experienced. Here's what I've heard. One of my favorites, or I, you know, at the time it wasn't my favorite. We had an employee, Jason, who came in. He'd been here 3 months. And his evaluation of us was good, had everything I needed, you know, all those things we ask. And he said, under the, you know, general comments, he asked this question. He said, I'm not sure why we're not supposed to like the people in the service programming division. Now, he worked in our family ministry. Mm-hmm. And so here he comes in the organization with fresh eyes, and he realizes the people I work with don't like the people in another department, but I don't know why we don't like the people in the other department. I just know we don't like him. So he was brave enough and courageous enough to say, hey, Andy, by the way, I realize there's a feud going on in this organization. Will you please tell me what we're feuding about? You know, I'd be happy to participate. What's the problem? Well, how would I have known that? Right. So I called in the two department heads and I said, you know what? This is like kids arguing in the back seat. I don't really care what you're arguing about. It just has to stop. And I said, look, a brand new employee came into our culture and realized we have a culture that has a feud. It must end. Well, I would have never known that. And his comment, you know, gave me all the evidence I needed to present. And through the years, there have been several things along those lines. Or if I see a trend, you know, if I get 4 or 5 of these that make the same observation about our culture or our organization, then we have a problem. So leaders have to create kind of an artificial means of surfacing this information, because the longer you're there, the more invisible it becomes. But at the same time, we're the ones who create or allow or maintain the culture.
Andy, inescapable truth number 3 digs just a little deeper into something we talked about earlier. It says, healthy cultures attract and keep healthy people.
Yep. Anyone who has worked in the field of counseling or family counseling specifically understands that unhealthy people are very comfortable in unhealthy environments or unhealthy cultures. At the same time, very healthy people have low tolerance for dysfunction. They just leave. They just can't stay there. So, you know, as a parent, one of the most important things we can do as a kid is to raise children who are very intolerant of unhealthy environments, because then they don't stay in unhealthy relationships. So if you transfer that to the organizational world, a healthy culture will attract healthy people, and unhealthy people aren't happy in healthy organizational cultures because nobody puts up with their gossip, nobody puts up with their bad attitude, nobody puts up with their poor work ethic. At the same time, if you have an unhealthy culture, the healthy people are going to leave. Almost no matter what you pay them, they just can't stand going home every single day frustrated, too much red tape, walking on eggshells, you know, having to tiptoe around issues or avoid the elephant in the room. Healthy people are like, you know what, life's too short, I'm moving on. So even though culture's a little bit squishy, a little bit intangible, addressing culture is an investment in an organization, because it attracts great people, helps you maintain great people. And if you take an unhealthy culture, especially if you're a new manager, division leader, and you transition it to a healthy culture, there are going to be people who leave, and chances are it's the people you secretly wish would leave anyway. And when you bring in new people, they're going to be, you know, they're going to stay, and they're going to appreciate the work you've done.
So, Andy, what do you see as indicators of an unhealthy culture?
Well, again, this is almost division, department, industry, organization specific. But in general, I would say, number one, drama, you know, where there's just unnecessary or inordinate or here it goes again or what's up with those people, just drama. Unhealthy people create drama. They just do. Productive people who know what they're doing, who come to work to get it done, there's just generally not a lot of drama. So I say drama. Along with that, a sense of being self-focused. You can't ever quite get happy. Hey, there's something else I want to point out. They seem to be far more inward focused than they are outward focused, marketplace focused. And then, you know, one of the terms we use around here a lot is sideways energy. In other words, a lot of activity without a lot of progress, a lot of busyness without a lot of productivity. When you see that, you know, that it just goes on and on and on, there's something wrong with the culture. And again, there may be a half dozen other things, but those are the 3 things that when I when I sense that, I want to stop and say, okay, let's look a little deeper. What in the world is going on over there?
Andy, you just alluded to this, but inescapable truth number four says, the culture of an organization impacts the long-term productivity of an organization.
Yep. And again, this is very difficult to measure, but there has probably been more research and more work done in the area of culture around this issue than anything else. Because again, leaders want to know, okay, why should I pay attention to this? And the culture experts in our culture immediately go to, hey, here's why it's important, because your productivity is tied to your organizational culture. So if productivity is important, and everybody listening, yes, it is, otherwise I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, then your culture is important. Because culture has to do with the transparency and the accessibility of information. Culture impacts our ability to have unfiltered debate. Culture impacts so many things when it comes to communication, when it comes to, again, transparency. And all of those things oftentimes are bottleneck for productivity. So, again, silos, being territorial, all of that is cultural. And so as you tear down the silos, as people become less territorial, as people are more willing to collaborate, you know, that's a big deal. In a healthy culture, people collaborate. They are, you know, bosses don't worry if people under them are, you know, talking to each other. The boss doesn't have to be in every meeting. The division leader doesn't have, nobody feels left out. Nobody gets their feelings hurt. We want to get the job done. If you guys need to talk without me, talk without me. You don't even have to tell me you're talking. In an unhealthy culture, everything is so top down. Everything is so red tape. Everything is so buttoned up. And what does that do? That just slows down progress. So, and productivity. So productivity is so tied to culture. And so when you look at not the largest, but some of the most efficient, highly productive organizations, whether they're small companies or large companies, generally speaking, you'll find employees who say, I love working there. It's a great company. Yeah, I like the product. Yeah, we're making money, but I love the company. And again, that's an indication that somebody likes the culture in the company. So yeah, it's a big deal. Culture impacts productivity.
Which leads us to the final inescapable truth about culture, and that is, unhealthy cultures are slow to adapt to change.
Yes, they are, Lane. I tell you what, as a pastor, and you and I have been working in church world all our lives, you know, the issues churches face when it comes to change, oh my goodness. Isn't it interesting, and those marketplace leaders who are listening today, you may or may not be able to relate to this, the churches that grow the fastest and the churches that are seemingly the healthiest are the churches that are not focused on their church members. Isn't that interesting? The churches that when you walk in, it's fresh, it's alive, it's exciting. Even if you don't agree with their theology, you think, wow, well, I know these people, at least they agree with it. They believe what they say they believe. But an unhealthy culture is generally focused inward. It's generally focused on itself. And often individuals in that kind of culture have their back to the marketplace. They're most concerned with what's happening in the organization, not what's happening outside the organization. They're more concerned with what's happening in the cube next to them. What did he say? What did she say? Why is the boss talking to her? You know, why did she get that opportunity? They're so inwardly focused that then when an opportunity for change or a new growth opportunity comes along, it's so disruptive, unhealthy people just naturally resist change. So consequently, an unhealthy culture is going to resist change. So because things change so quickly in the marketplace, even in our world, in church world, you just can't afford, really, literally afford to have a culture that resists change. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be out of business before long. So culture is tied to productivity, and you know, culture is tied to having a nimble organization that's willing to act and react and flex with what's going on in the marketplace.
So, Andy, if unhealthy cultures are slow to adapt to change, does that make it difficult for an unhealthy culture to transition to a healthy one?
yeah, because that would require change.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it is. This is one of the most difficult things. And again, the larger the company, the more difficult this is. The larger the division, you know, the less time a manager's been there, the less clout they have, the less leverage they have. There's so many things that impact this. But yes, this is very difficult. But as we've said, it is absolutely worth it because culture impacts who you get, who you keep, what you're able to do, and how quickly you're able to do it. So again, I think these five things, obviously, there's far more we could say about organizational culture, but hopefully this will kind of jumpstart the discussion with leadership teams and with management teams. Or if you're listening today and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you can't believe the culture I inherited, then I just would encourage you, you got to dig in and start making changes when you can. And it is worth it. And it will increase your productivity and it'll just make you a better leader.
Andy, thanks for taking this time with us today. And thanks to our audience for listening to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. For more information on creating a great staff culture, check out the Becoming a Great Staff DVD at northpointstore.org.